preach it. I've got a lot, a message this morning. I don't know that I'm going to be able to finish it. I've got a lot in my heart to share with you this morning, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get it all out. I'm going to do my best. But this year, we had a prophetic prayer summit with our team, our staff, just a few days ago before entering the new year. And we do this every year, and a good part of the day is spent just praying and seeking God and listening for His voice and just asking Him freshly, God, what do you have for this church this year? What do you have for this precious people at New Song? What is your heart? What is your mission? What is your calling? And we came out of that with a prophetic theme for the year, and it's these two words, seek first. And by the way, Glenn, thanks for that great song you started with today, seek first. How many of you think that's a pretty good prophetic word for our new year, seek first? Not seeking the accolades of men, not seeking fame and fortune, not seeking anything else first, but seeking God first, above all else, truly seeking Him. Jeremiah 29:11, we love that verse, but 29:13 says, when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Then you'll find me. And this is just a great way for us to start out this new year because, listen, these next 3 weeks, there's going to be people here every morning, Monday through Friday, seeking God with all their heart, laying aside the delights and the pleasures of the food of this world, laying aside the social media of this world, laying aside the TV, the distractions, whatever it is God's calling you to lay aside to seek Him first above everything else, to seek Him first. I'm hungry for God. And I make no apology about it. I am hungry. I'm voraciously hungry for God. I've feasted. I've enjoyed the holidays just like you have. But I found myself after several good meals feeling just an emptiness on the inside that only God can fill. Only God can fill. Listen, I have a little thing. I don't think I've ever shared this before because it's kind of very personal to me. But I want to share it, and I want to share it in relation to some other things with you this morning. One of the things that I keep in front of me, and it's in a note in my phone, and I look over it, I think about it quite often, because it's kind of a defining thing of my life. And it's really six words. And there's six words that I want to be descriptive of me. And it's these six words: non-anxious, well-defined, deeply satisfied. So if I were to put it in a sentence, kind of a mission statement, so to speak, of my life, I want to be a non-anxious, well-defined, deeply satisfied man of God. Man in Christ, son of God, walking in deep relationship with Him. Non-anxious, because let me tell you, I just heard this week someone shared with me at my barber shop about a survey that just came out. Guess who tops the list of the most anxious country on the face of the earth? You're sitting in it, United States of America. Most anxious people on the face of the earth. Isn't that interesting? You ever stop and think of why that is? You ever stop and think that maybe, just maybe, the enemy's behind that? All the stuff that you and I are receiving on an almost daily basis, is it making us more peaceful or is it making us more anxious? There's no doubt it's making us more anxious. There's some things you need to unplug from over these next 21 days so that you can hear the voice of God, so that you can receive His peace in your heart, so that you can get out of this anxious state that so many of us live in. Listen, when you're anxious, you know, anxiousness is just a low grade of fear. And God's word says that perfect love casts out fear. So when we allow anxiousness in, and listen, more people are medicated for anxiety in the United States now than ever before. Why is that? Is it that we've just finally recognized the problem? Or are there root systemic causes that are causing us to be more anxious than ever before? I believe it's the latter. But I think there's an absolute way to be free from that anxiety. Non-anxious, well-defined. Well-defined just simply means, you know, that you and I need to be at a place in our lives where we feel really confident of what God's call is in our lives and that we're walking in that. I never dreamed I'd be a pastor. I never dreamed that. I like to go back and tell my kids a lot of times the story because for a long time that was not even on my radar. But boy, did God ever make it clear in his time and in his way. We were on the cruise the other day. It was pretty cool. We sat down with a couple. We were having dinner. They were total strangers to us, we to them. He was a lawyer in Ocala, Florida. And his wife was a teacher. And it was very interesting. First question out of the gate, somehow he found out I was a pastor. I think my wife let the cat out of the bag. But anyway, thank you, honey. It's always great when people find that out and I have to tell them, you know, stuff. Anyway, oftentimes it changes the conversation greatly. So sometimes I like to be kind of an undercover secret agent. But anyway, the first thing out of this lawyer's mouth was, tell me about your calling. How did you sense a calling to be a pastor? So it was really a cool opening, you know. And anyway, I won't tell you all the rest. But anyway, it was an interesting conversation. Non-anxious, well-defined, deeply satisfied. Deeply satisfied. I'm just going to tell you, I think it's where we're missing it. I think we're really missing it there. Let me share with you one of my favorite quotes. I'm a quote guy. I've got thousands of quotes stored on my stuff. And I look them over quite a lot. Before I had electronic stuff, I used to write them in the back pages of my Bible in tiny, tiny print, hundreds and hundreds of quotes from great men and women of God. They're things that help me keep focused, help me keep on the right path. Here's one of my favorite ones, and I'm kind of going to go back a little bit to the message Bill McDonald preached several weeks ago. If you didn't get to hear that, you should get the CD, ask one of our folks to make you a CD or go to the website. By the way, we have our brand new website launch. We're still working on it, but you should check it out. It's pretty cool. NewSongLouisville.org. But go there, you can get the podcast. But here's one of my favorite quotes, and it comes from John Piper. I think maybe I told you guys, I ran into John Piper at the airport here some time back. Did I tell you guys that story? Okay, it looks like an overwhelming sense that I did, but no. I'm a big John Piper fan. I love John Piper. I've never met him. I love his books. I love him. I love his heart. And I'm coming. I just had gotten off a flight, and I'm walking through, and I'm coming to that area where I'm passing by the security. You know what I'm talking about, where everybody's going through security. So I'm coming out of the airport. I'm passing security, leaving. John Piper's going through security. In fact, he's right at the security belt and the TSA officers and all that. And you know me, I'm such a wise man at times. I rushed John Piper at the security thing because I want to say hi to him. TSA didn't like that. They did not like a guy coming off the plane rushing a guy trying to get through the security. Anyway. I really didn't get to meet John Piper. It was kind of, you know, is they're hauling me off. Hey, John. No, not really. But anyway, it's a little embarrassing. Didn't exactly work out. But here's what John Piper said and what I want to share with you this morning. God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him. I got to say it again because it's a deep thought. And I really want it to get into your heart this morning. I'd like for you to think about it over these next 21 days. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. I want to be deeply satisfied in Christ. So I think a lot of us, we kind of do with church and we kind of do with the Lord what we do with a lot of things in life. We nibble a little bit here, we nibble a little bit there, we take a little bit here, we take a little bit there. But if we really, really were honest, we're not all in. It's God's one thing on the buffet for us that we feed from, but we're feeding on a lot of other things too. And they're not bad necessarily. They just have their place. And when they start competing for priority in our life, they're out of place. And they have to be put back in our place. See, the term that we would use, you're a tripartite being. There's three parts to you, and they're not obvious, they're not noticeable. There's really only one part that's noticeable, it's your body. We spend a lot of time dressing this thing up, trying to make this thing look good. But you're also a soul and a spirit. And it's interesting, you know, we're made in the image and likeness of God. God is three parts, Father, Son, and Spirit. You and I are three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And the way we're meant to live our lives, listen, I'm gonna tell you how it should go. Body should be submitted to soul, and soul should be submitted to spirit. It's a good thing to pray, actually. Body should be submitted to soul. Soul should be submitted to spirit. That's the way you ought to line up in this life. If it gets out of order, life doesn't go well. Because you're a spiritual being first and foremost. The spirit part of you is going to live forever. Your body's going to be remade, redone. Some of you can say amen for that, huh? But, you know, your body's going to be perfected. We're still going to recognize you. We're going to still know you for who you were and who you are. But there's that eternal part of you. And that's where you should be living out of that spirit being above, out of your soul. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, your will. A lot of us are controlled right there. A lot of us are controlled by our bodies. That's kind of the lowest level of living, when your body and its you know, senses and pleasures and desires control you. You're kind of living at the lowest level. But when your spirit is in control, man, that's when, you know, your body's in check, your soul's in check. You're in a place of peace. You're in a place of being deeply satisfied because you are intimately connected with God, which is what you're designed for, is that intimate connection with Him. Well, let me try to get through a little bit here. I've got my little pointer. Maybe I can do this. Yeah, there we go. This is actually the pad. This is a big pad. This is the words for 2018 as our staff prayed. I wanted to run through a little bit of it with you real quick. Would that be okay? Because listen, we're praying for you. We're seeking God. We want to be spirit-led, spirit-driven, spirit-formed. We're people of the Word and the Spirit. Trust me for the way, clear paths. God wants to make clear paths ahead of us. There's seek first, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Offer it all up. Young, health, spiritual, emotional, relational, physical health. A strong, healthy community pouring into young leaders. I am your help. Your weakness means my strength. Keep doing what you know to do. Do it as personal worship to God, deeper with God. God wants us to go deeper with Him and with one another in every area of our lives. Use what God has taught us. Teach others. Bulk up. My son liked that. He thought that was a cool word from the Lord. Bulk up. Anyway. Refreshing in God. Immersion in God. Finding healing and renewing in Him. That He would be the king of our hearts, and that we would be the priests of the flame. That we would realize it's our responsibility to keep the flame burning brightly before Him constantly. An anointing poured out on us, but we keep waiting for man to direct us. God's anointed you. Don't forget the basics. Strike force. Be on the offense. Don't just play defense. I'm not clean up only. Don't just call me when you make a mess. Jesus wants us to trust Him more than more that He will come through. Don't trust the enemy's whispers. The Holy Spirit is our battering ram. No more no outlet. Opening up a lot. By the end of the year, the landscape's changing, and we're going to see growth. Prepare for it. Don't be afraid to change. Relationships are key. Be still and know I'm God. A year of restoration. A year of seeking and finding. Jeremiah 29:13, seeking with all of our hearts. Greater increase of faith for the natural and the supernatural. And there's, again, back to the basics. Switching from low gear to high gear. Isn't that good stuff? That's all things that as we were praying and seeking the Lord for the day, we sensed from God. How many of you would like to join me in the quest to be a non-anxious, well-defined, deeply satisfied person in Christ? Let me just tell you what I think will happen when we really seek Him first and we come and we feast before His presence every day so that it really sets us apart as people of the presence. Moses wanted to be a person of God's presence. Moses absolutely refused to go up into the promised land. The promised land can represent all kinds of good things in life, right? Land of milk and honey, a land where they had those massive grapes, where God was going to make the way for them. But Moses said, not unless your presence goes with me. In other words, I don't just want the good things of this life if I can't have you, God, right with me. Those good things will ultimately betray me. Those good things will ultimately become a trap in my life. They will ultimately cause me to deny you and to not realize my deep need for you. I'm not going to go up into the promised land without you. I think there has to be one of the things that's going to have to happen reformation-wise in the church is that we're going to have to get past all of our approaches to church. You know, there's three right now that I'm aware of, and I think we're all three of these in a sense, but we got to get past just these approaches. There's the attractional approach, there's the missional approach, and there's kind of the discipleship approach, and they're all good in their own right. But listen, we got to be people of the presence of God. Above and beyond everything else, I think the only thing that's going to set us apart is if we're really people of God's presence. And what I mean by that is that we spend enough time in His presence, that wherever we go, we sense His presence. Wherever we go, we're surrounded by, filled by His presence. So that every word that comes out of our mouth is directed by the presence of God. So that every act that we do is directed by the presence of God. So that people see something and experience something in us that isn't us. We've got to be praying that prayer of John the Baptist. May I decrease so that God can increase in my life. When I hunger for Him, listen, I'm giving up the very things that would sustain me because He's my sustenance. Because He's my life. Because He's the one above everything else that I've got to feed on, to feast on. Let me show you this slide maybe I'll end here in just a bit. We need to seek first by committing to regular Bible reading. And listen, some of you have been around here a while and you're going, oh, here he goes again. You're right, here I go again. Because there's no way to replace this, folks. You find a way to replace it, let me know. But there isn't a way. I'm just telling you. And listen, look at this. A survey by Gallup and Christianity Today found that no factor is more influential in shaping a person's moral and social behavior than regular Bible reading. Now, let me just put that kind of in the inverse. If you don't want to be moral and you don't really want to live socially the way God would call you to, then ignore your Bible reading. Then don't do it every day. But if you want to be a person that is holy as God is holy, that is living a life that others look at and go, wow, your good works are glorifying your Father in heaven. If you want to live socially in a way that you're connecting with others, reaching out to others, being compassionate to others, read your Bible. There's no getting around that, folks. Let me show you something here, and I could just go on about this, but let me show you some resources for your daily time with God. And it's why we invited Brian Harden to be here next week. Because every one of us, listen, some of you are not readers. I understand that, even though I'd like to challenge you on that front, because I think reading is really important. But if all you can do at least is listen to God's Word every day, daily audio Bible is perfect for you. And you will love Brian Harden's voice. You'll be like, wow, that guy's got a cool voice. And he will take you all the way through the Bible, and he will also give you some good insight into the Bible. I love his insight. DailyAudioBible.com. There's also an app. You can get the app. I am really enjoying the YouVersion of the Bible, which is put out by Life Church in Oklahoma City. I love the YouVersion. It is amazing, and they keep developing it in new ways. There's journals back on the back table for you that you can buy. There's daily audio Bible journals and deliberate people journals. If you'd like to have a physical journal, get one of those today. We only have a limited number, but some of you, that'll be a really key thing for your year. Let me show you something here. This is really, really cool. This is the YouVersion. In this first year I've ever done this, and I'm inviting all of you. And by doing so, I'm becoming accountable to all of you. Because listen, I wouldn't want a pastor that's not in the Word daily. I wouldn't. I need to be in God's Word daily. I've been developing that habit now for probably close to 20 years, reading the Bible through every year. And I want to keep doing that to my last days on this earth. Reading God's Word all the way through. Now, there's a new thing on YouVersion. If you go to the one-year Bible, so you go to the YouVersion, you go to the plans, and in the plans, you look for the one-year Bible, okay? The one-year Bible, that exact term. And then every day, it'll track you with our reading that we use in our daily life journals. It's the same exact plan, the same exact thing we post on New Song Louisville every day. And you can read, but you can also invite your friends, or you can receive my invitation. Sue, thanks for receiving my invitation the other day. It's been cool to see some of the things you've been posting. Jordan, really proud of you. That was very cool what you posted the other day. So here's what happens. At the end of the day, see this little thing right here? It says, talk it over. Talk it over. So after I've read my passages, here's what I do. I copy one scripture that really stands out to me. And then when I go to talk it over, I have an opportunity to write a response. And I will paste my scripture that spoke to me that day. Most of the time there's several, but I'll limit it to one. And I'm not doing some big, deep journaling thing here where you're going, man, I'm ready to spend 15 minutes just reading what Pastor Jeff put down. No. But here's from the other day. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Matthew 4:20. And here's what I journaled that day. I love the immediate obedience of the early disciples. We tend to delay or even debate obedience to the Lord. Lord, help us to obey you fully and immediately. And up here was Jen Hansen. She was commenting on a verse for the day. Here's Steve Kaufman. He was commenting on a verse. And Jordan too, and Sue, and others. Right now I've got five friends that I'm reading the Bible with. And I invite you. Wouldn't it be cool? We'll all just read the Bible together. Wouldn't that just make a difference? That'd just be awesome. So you're invited. Get on YouVersion. If you need help, let me know. I'll be glad to help you. So it's just one of the ways. And listen, I gotta end with this. We need to seek God first by listening for his still small voice. The book that we're focusing on, I gave this book to all of our staff at our Christmas party. It's called Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. Some of you have wrestled with this issue as one of the primary issues in your life. Some of you came from a background that didn't believe you could hear the voice of God. Some of you have been influenced by a thinking that if you hear God's voice, you must be a wacko. You must be a Looney Tune. That, you know, if you hear God's voice, it's going to be telling you to do something crazy, weird, strange, and everybody's going to look at you and think you're just, you know, you've lost it. Can I just tell you that for me, hearing God's voice as a young person was one of the absolute most life-changing things. And you know, God's never told me to do something that was loony, wacko, crazy, that he wasn't with me, didn't care for me, didn't walk with me, didn't help me. I remember hearing God's voice to start this church. It scared me. I was confused and disturbed, but I knew it was the Lord. And guess what? He's been with me every day since. God spoke to me about marrying this wonderful woman on the front row. 30 years later, I'm still happy as a clam, I'm telling you, with this wonderful lady that God put by my side. You need to hear God's voice. And I believe over these days, these 21 days, perfect time for you to hear his voice. I've got a few quotes here from Mark Batterson. God often speaks the loudest when we're the quietest. Mark's really good at taking powerful thoughts and just putting them in little bite-sized nuggets. I'm just telling you, you're probably not going to hear God's voice if you were caught in the frenzy of this world. You're going to have to find what Jesus called that secret place. And guess what? For the next 3 weeks, you can make a secret place right there or right over there in the corner or right over here with us at 7 a.m. in the morning and just listen for his voice. Let me show you a couple more. Here's the 7-word prayer that can change your life. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Anybody recognize where that came from in the Bible? That's Samuel's training to hear God's voice. Ends up becoming one of the absolute most powerful prophets, judges in the Old Testament. Let's look at this one, and we'll end with this one right here. All our identity issues are fundamental misunderstandings of who God is. This is from the book Whisper. Guilt issues are a misunderstanding of God's grace. Control issues are a misunderstanding of God's sovereignty. Anger issues are a misunderstanding of God's mercy. Pride issues are a misunderstanding of God's greatness. Trust issues are a misunderstanding of God's goodness. If you struggle with any of those issues, it's time to let God be the loudest voice in your life. We need to hear him afresh, church. You know what? I can't stop right there. Sorry. Don't mean to be dishonest. I just got to say a little bit about fasting. Here's some thoughts about fasting. I'm not going to read all of them. Bill Bright was a great man of God, started Campus Crusade. The last years of his life, he practiced a 40-day fast for the last several years of his life. He really felt the Lord say to him that would be key to seeing a revival come in our nation. I love Bill Bright. One time I signed a contract unto God, surrendering my life to God because Bill Bright challenged me to do that. It was a significant moment for me. He says, I believe the power of fasting as it relates to prayer is the spiritual atomic bomb that our Lord has given us to destroy the strongholds of evil and usher in a great revival and spiritual harvest around the world. That sounds like a good reason to fast, doesn't it? It does to me. Fasting, here's what Mike Bickle says. Fasting is a grace that significantly increases our receptivity to the Lord's voice and to his word. I like what he says up in the left-hand corner. Fasting to get God to pay attention to us is just one example of legalism, because the motive is rooted in a misunderstanding of God's grace. We should fast because we know God enjoys us and because we want our hearts to receive more of him. That's grace-empowered fasting. Jensen Franklin says, fasting humbles you and brings you clarity, even allowing you to get unforgiveness and bitterness out of your heart. About 80% of the church struggles with unforgiveness. We need to do a close examination of that and get free from that. John Wesley, one of my spiritual heroes, says, the man who never fasts is no more in the way of heaven than the man who never prays. I'm inviting you. I don't know how God would call you to fast over these 21 days, but I believe he is. I believe he will. For me, it's not about what you fast or what you give up. It's about your heart and your heart to humble yourself before him and to really seek him first. Inside your bulletin, there's a little thing that says, encourage your personal renewal with prayer and fasting. And then why do we fast and pray? I'll share this with you real quick. Some of you have seen this and you know this. It's called The Golden Circle by Simon Sinek. It's one of the really popular videos that went viral on Facebook. on the internet and YouTube, and he has a book. It's called Start With Why. I think one time Doug talked a little bit about this. A lot of times we don't know why we do things. Boy, I've gotten, over the last couple of years, the Lord's just reminded me and clarified why I do what I do, why I live the way I live, why I preach the way I do, why I want to be faithful unto God's assignment and call in my life, faithful to my wife, faithful to my kids, faithful to you as your pastor. Most people know what they do, and they know how you do what you do, but most people forget why, what's the real purpose. And I want to kind of take you to that sheet. Why do we fast and pray? And it'll give you the very scriptures, and it'll give you at least 8 reasons to fast and pray. Fast to please the Lord, Zechariah 7:5. Fast in response to God's call. Fast in response to God's call. Fast to humble yourself before the Lord. Fast to seek his face more fully. Fast as a holy discipline. Fast in response to Jesus' admonition. Boy, that ought to be enough right there. Fast along with your church for God's guidance. That's what we're asking you to do. Fast to express your love and your worship. There's the why. So now will you join us over the next 21 days? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. They're going to distribute the elements of communion. And I think we'll just have everybody stay seated for right now. I think I'd like to have the worship team come on back up, please. In just a minute, we may have the ministry team come too. Just want to be sensitive to the Lord here. So guys, if you'll just go ahead and begin to pass out those elements of communion, don't forget me. Thank you. Appreciate it. By the way, just in case you end up at the same restaurant as me this afternoon, I'm going out. I'm having my final meal. I know you laugh, but, you know, it's just kind of my thing. I have my final meal, and then I focus in. Celebrate my brother-in-law's birthday. Happy birthday, Steve. Hope you picked a good restaurant. No. Amen. I want you to think about the Lord. Think about his love for you. Think about why he came, why he did what he did. Think about the sacrifice he made for you. Think about the way he's stirring your heart to know him in a deeper way. He sure is stirring mine. I don't want to get stuck. I don't want to just live the same year over 20, 30 times. I want to be growing every single year in God. I get to be an old man. I'm not there yet. I want to be a sage. It's what John Eldridge calls it. A man of lots of wisdom that's accumulated over the years because he's walked with God year in and year out through all the seasons and the changes and the challenges. Knowing God deeply, knowing God intimately. Oh gosh, there's a quote I gotta share with you here. Let me see if I can find it. Man, I gotta read this quote to you as we get ready to receive communion. This is from John Piper's book, A Hunger for God. It's a great book. The greatest enemy of hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie. It's not the banquet of the wicked that dulls our appetite for heaven, but endless nibbling at the table of the world. It's not the X-rated video, but the primetime dribble of triviality we drink in every night. For all the ill that Satan can do, when God describes what keeps us from the banquet table of his love, it's a piece of land, it's a yoke of oxen, and a wife. The greatest adversary of love to God is not his enemies, but his gifts. Most deadly appetites are not for the poison of evil, but for the simple pleasures of earth. For when these replace an appetite for God himself, the idolatry is scarcely recognizable and almost incurable. Jesus said, some people hear the word of God and a desire for God is awakened in their hearts. But then as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life. In another place, he said, the desire for other things enter in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. The pleasures of this life and the desire for other things, these are not evil in themselves. These are not vices, they're gifts from God. They're your basic meat and potatoes and coffee and gardening and reading and decorating and traveling and investing and TV watching and internet surfing and shopping and exercising and collecting and talking. But all of them can become deadly substitutes for God himself. Would you come before the table of the Lord with me? Just hold you those elements. Lord, thank you for your body. It was broken for us. We love you and worship you with all of our hearts. Set aside these 21 days coming up, Lord, just to seek you first, to seek you with all of our hearts, to find you in this new year, to be deeply satisfied in you, to be people of your presence. Thank you for what you've done for us, Jesus. Thank you that you are soon to return. Thank you that you are looking for a faithful people who will seek you and serve you and live for you day in and day out, regardless of where this world goes. People who will be faithful to you. God, help us to hunger, thirst more and more for you and less for the things of this world. Let's receive the bread together. Lord, thank you for this cup that represents your precious blood poured out for us to forgive us and cleanse us and clothe us in a robe of righteousness, make us like you. We're no longer defined by our sin. We're defined by your love for us, your forgiveness and cleansing of us. You're calling us into a life that's pleasing to you. God, help us to walk with you, talk with you day in and day out, to receive of you all the good things you've provided for us. Bless this new year, Lord, as we seek you first in all things. In Jesus' name, let's receive the cup. Stand with me, say amen, and pass your cups to the center aisle. Can you say amen, church? And let's worship together. Ministry team, would you guys come on up? Just in case there's anybody here that needs some personal ministry this morning, I want to give you that opportunity for a few minutes. Ministry team, come on up. Let's sing this song together. Let our worship team lead us. If you have a need, any need, listen, we care about you, and we want to pray for you. We want to stand with you. We want to walk with you and help you. You come if you have a need. I'll come back and dismiss us in just a moment.
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God. It changes what we see and what we see. When you come in the room and when you do what only you can do, it changes us. It changes what we see and what
together. I hope to see you at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. As you leave today, don't forget about journals and Whisper. Love for you to pick those up and track with us. Don't forget about the invitation to YouVersion or Daily Audio Bible. Let me pray for us as we go. Lord, go with us. And God, may we seek you with all of our hearts and seek you first in all things. And Lord, I know you're faithful to keep your promise. All the rest will be added unto us. If we'll put you in that first place, may we be that kind of people, a people that your eyes look throughout this earth, seeking someone who's faithful, and then you empower them on your behalf when you find that. Lord, find that here at New Song, a people who long for your presence, a people who put you first in all things, a people that you can strengthen on your behalf for your glory. Go with us now and use our lives for your glory. Thank you that we don't leave the presence of God here. Your presence goes with us. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. God bless you. Happy New Year. Have a great day.